It's been 40 years since the unheralded Texas Western College beat powerhouse University of Kentucky for the men's college basketball championship. The game proved to be an important moment in the civil rights movement of the 1960s, but the story of Texas Western has never been told to a mass audience. That is, until this weekend. The film, Glory Road, opened yesterday in theaters around the country. It's about the Texas Western team and coach who won a title and broke down racial barriers in the process. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
There's a scene early in Glory Road where one of the characters talks about the racial makeup of most college basketball teams at the time. Loading up on Negroes, he says, it just isn't done. Indeed, during the 1965-66 season, three of the country's premier conferences, Atlantic Coast, Southeastern, and Southwest, had a grand total of one African American playing varsity basketball. James Gartner directed Glory Road.
And so along comes this man, of course, Don Haskins, who violated expectations to a large degree.
Don Haskins was the head coach at Tiny Texas Western, a non-conference independent school. Like all men in his position, he wanted to win. Unlike all coaches at the time, Haskins was willing to do whatever it took.
He got players that he thought could win basketball games, and he didn't care about the color.
That's Mo Iba, a former Texas Western assistant coach. Over a four-year period, he recruited most of the players on the 1966 championship team. Iba is white, and his travels took him into predominantly black neighborhoods in Detroit and New York City. During those racially charged times, he says not all residents welcomed him.
I was told, to be sure to come in the afternoon and be sure I was out of there by night. If there was any problem, you announced that you were a basketball coach and you were recruiting, and everybody would leave you alone.
The recruiting message was a promise of Division I basketball and an education. Neville Shedd signed up. He was from the South Bronx, and arriving in El Paso, he says, was like landing on the moon.
And not knowing anything about Texas except for oil wells, steers, and looking for people in cowboy boots, it was definitely a culture shock. But, you know, the main thing of it is that during the times we knew of the struggles and the racism and everything, I went down there at first on guard.
Texas Western's seven black players encountered racism on the road, but Shedd says he was surprised and relieved to be treated well in El Paso. He and the others soon realized their toughest challenge would be playing for a tough-as-nails disciplinarian basketball coach.
Hey, coach, I can't go no more!
I think you can go some more. You got energy for all kind of nonsense instead of demonstrating some respect and being a leader!
In this scene from Glory Road, Coach Haskins, played by Josh Lucas, makes star player Bobby Joe Hill runs stairs at the Texas Western football stadium after Hill violates Haskins' rule of no fraternizing with young women.
I never was the greatest player. And when I see the talent you got, and I see you wasting it, it ticks me off. Now, if you couldn't get in the gym, there'd be nothing for us to talk about. But times are different. You're in the gym, Bobby. And if you're in the gym, you step out on that floor, you better respect my father, you better respect me, and you better respect yourself and play some basketball.
Bobby Joe Hill and his teammates played dazzling basketball through that 65-66 season, largely because the unyielding Don Haskins yielded a bit. Realizing his walk-the-ball-up-the-court strategy wasn't always going to work with this team, Haskins loosened the reins. The Miners began running more, using what Neville Shedd calls the poetic passing and fantastic dribbling many of them learned on their big-city playgrounds. Texas Western lost one game during the regular season, and on March 19, 1966, found itself matched against basketball royalty in the championship game. The Miners would play the University of Kentucky, coached by the legendary Adolph Rupp. Texas Western's big man was David Latin. In later years, he changed the pronunciation to Latin. He remembers the white bus driver who drove the Miners to the game.
And he was saying to me, why are you guys playing this game tonight? Do you know who you're playing against? Why don't you just get back on the bus, go back to the hotel, and forget it?
Why? because the miners believed they could win. They were bigger, faster, and arguably hungrier for victory. Haskins told the miners that only the team's 7 black players would play. That would be historic. There'd never before been an all-black starting lineup in an NCAA championship game. Haskins has long stated he chose to use his black players because they were his best. He'd done it before during the season. But the movie implies Haskins was making a statement. David Lateen thinks so. He remembers Haskins calling the miners together before the title game and telling them Kentucky coach Rupp had said at a press conference that 5 black players couldn't beat Rupp's all-white team.
And he didn't say anything else after that other than, it's up to you, and then he walked out of the room.
Kentucky players insist they never heard racial comments from Rupp, who died in 1977. Haskins was too ill to be interviewed for this story. The truth is elusive. Did Rupp make the statement? If he did, was Haskins motivated by conscience, or did he simply want to fire up his team? Whatever the reason, it worked on Lateen and teammate Bobby Joe Hill moments after Haskins left their room.
Bobby looked at me and said, listen, man, we are not going to lose this game. I said, hey, I know we're not going to lose this game.
Lateen's thunderous dunk early in the game set the tone. Texas Western won 72-65, thanks to Bobby Joe Hill's game-high 20 points and the kind of tough defense Haskins always preached. Players on both sides say the game was hard-fought and insist there was no racial tension. Afterwards, Kentucky star guard Louis Dampier went into the miners' locker room to congratulate the winners.
A disc jockey in El Paso must have said something on the air, and I got about 100 letters from their fans telling me that they appreciate what I did.
Media accounts of the game, from the New York Times to Sports Illustrated to prominent black newspapers like the Chicago Defender, mention nothing about an all-black lineup beating a team of white players. But the significance was unavoidable. Texas Western had obliterated the myth that black athletes don't have the skill or poise to win if they don't have help from white athletes. Later that year, the first black player joined the Southwest Conference. The following season, the Southeastern Conference was integrated. And as the years rolled by, Neville Shedd encountered more and more people, like the black pro football player who came up to Shedd in an airport.
He said, my father was a great athlete and did not have a chance or the opportunity to really go and perform the things that he did so well. But what you did, winning that national championship, it opened the doors to allow athletes like me to go to any school of their choice. And I want to thank you for that.
Chances are Neville Shedd will have a lot more interactions like that one now that Glory Road is out. Does it bother him that it took Hollywood 4 decades to catch on? 40 years late, he says, but then again, 40 years right on time. Tom Goldman, NPR News.